Praise God. We're so thankful for you being here again tonight. We're going to continue in where we left off this morning, dealing with these wonderful things that Jesus said and why did he say what he said. And I believe that as we continue to study the things that Jesus said, it ought to open up our understanding. It'll bring us to some realities of how God shared these things with his son, and then he shares them with us because they are very important. They're very valuable to us. It's a way that we can live our lives as we look to the things that he said, why he said those things, and I think that's of great value. So how many this morning the Lord ministered to you about when he said, when he reads from the scripture? And the people were ecstatic, they were happy, they were thrilled, they applauded everything that he said. They said, it's so great to hear the grace from his lips. And then all of a sudden the atmosphere changed. And Jesus said that no prophet is welcome in his own hometown. They was expecting him. He told them, he said, you're going to speak of Proverbs. You want me to do everything I've done in Capernaum? And they didn't just want him to do it because they were expecting miracles. They wanted him to do it to prove himself. And the fact that he grew up there, they never seen him do a single thing the whole time he was a kid. They never seen him act in any different way. And he was from there. He didn't really come out of there and start traveling until he was much older and that we have record of. So they saw him all this time. They seen, they interacted with him. But to prove to them, he had to start performing miracles. That's what they was expecting. So that's when he said that there were many widows, but only to one did Elijah go. There were many lepers, but only one did Elisha go. Did that help anybody this morning? How many believe that we got to give more if we're expecting more from God? We want the anointing of God on our lives. We got to be willing to do more, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. What's some of the things we can do? How many want to see the anointing of God on your life, the power of God on your life? Well, there's some things that we have to do, and I want to encourage you to do that. We stopped right here. Jesus talked about the kingdom. Now, this is important because we see this for the first time. For the first time, we have people going around speaking the words and says, well, Jesus is... The only reason Jesus came was to die, to be buried, and to rise again. Well, we know that's one of the things that he did. That's the important thing that he did. But he said things when he was here. He preached the gospel when he was here. So it's not the only thing Jesus was sent for. He wasn't just sent to die. I mean, that's what it wind up happened. He died, and he was raised from the dead. And then he was ascended to the Father. But that's not everything he did. He said things. He spoke words. He preached. And I believe that his words and the things he said are important. They're great, valuable lessons for us to learn. And one of the things Jesus talked about was the kingdom. And that's important. And we can spend a lot of time. I mean, we talk about putting brakes on right here. We can when it deals with the kingdom. But we'll see what we can cover. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be, we looked at some of this, but we didn't get to cover it all. This was part of our title. When we looked at our beginning slide there, I gave you the verses of Scripture. And part of that verse, well, we read in Luke and we read out of Mark. But now we're in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at that. I think it's some... again, some great and incredible areas of Scripture for us to look at that'll be a help to us. In the fourth chapter, let's see something here, looking at the things that Jesus began to declare and say and do. In Matthew chapter 4, we'll start with verse number 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came to settle in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land in shadows of death, upon them a light dawned. Verse 17, from that time that the prophecy of Isaiah started to come to light, that's what was spoken by Isaiah, this is what he's talking about. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, this is what, from that time, that he'd do it before then. He didn't do it. He never said these words, but we find from that time that the light come. The light has dawned on the part that's dark. And what Isaiah prophesied, he says, repent. Notice what Jesus says. That's a word that we don't want to use hardly today. You don't want to preach repentance. We got to preach everybody just come and have a wonderful time. Let's all get together and hug and smile and do all that. But nobody's talking about repentance. Think about that. Don't have to change anything. But what does Jesus say? He says, repent. From that time that the prophecy came forth, and brings that fulfillment of that prophecy, Jesus preached and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice that. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, as Jesus, verse 18, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, and we want to cover that in just a moment. Just keep your spot there. I'm gonna catch up, but let me do Mark 1:15 because I want to deal with this part. I got them in order, but I'm gonna skip just a little bit because I want to deal with Mark 1:15. Look at what it says. Go to Mark because I want to read a verse or two around that. And I kind of want to lay something out I'm throwing this Mark account in here so you'll see what the difference is and what's saying. Verse 14, and now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee to preach the gospel of God. Now, we're making the same account here. What did we talk about when I read it in Matthew? He's talking about John's custody. And him. So John has been taken into custody, and Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Notice that. The gospel of God. And saying. Now, how many of you wants to know what the gospel of God is? Now, some people say, well, we have Paul preached this and Paul said that. What happens a lot of times in the writings of Paul, and even Peter said that he's difficult to understand. That's what he said. Now, did Paul contradict the things of Jesus? He never contradicted. We just got to read it within the setting and not say, well, I'm going to take what Paul said and disregard what Jesus said. You got to take it all in perspective, everything. And if what Paul said cancels out what Jesus said, we have an issue with our interpretation. Right? So this is what is said in the 15th verse. And saying. So he mentions this. The time is fulfilled. This is Jesus. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, Matthew's account, he says, repent for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. In Mark's account, he said, for the kingdom of God is at hand. How many see that? So back up one slide and they'll see what I'm talking about. Matthew's account. They'll see Matthew, what he says, and when you look at that, it says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How many see that? Now the next one, Mark's account, go to the next one. He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, let me just make sure that everybody, and I've taught this before, but I just want to make sure we're clear. Matthew is not talking about something different than Mark's talking about. They're actually recording the same event, talking about John's custody. Matthew talks about John been taken into prison and he's in Galilee. Same thing we find here. Same thing. But one says, Matthew, throughout Matthew, in his writings, it's listed the kingdom of heaven. Mark, same account, he lists it as the kingdom of God. Now I have to ask this question. Are they talking about something different? If one says the kingdom of heaven and one says the kingdom of God, are they talking about something different? No, it's the same thing. They both, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, mean the same thing. Let me understand that. Now, there's some who would teach that this is different. The kingdom of heaven, as Matthew put it, is the kingdom that we have now. Because that's why he said is at hand. You know, when you're talking about something being at hand, means it's near, it's close. It's close. Now, Jesus is talking about what he would ultimately pay for and usher the entire human race into if they follow him. Right? Because that's our preparation. We're preparing to live in the kingdom. That's what we should be preparing for. So we're not preparing, so we just make it. You know, life is pretty bad, and you know, I don't want to be a sinner, so I want to be a good person, and so I just want to do good things so I can make it. Make what? What are you making? That's not what you get born again for. You get born again so you start living the life of faith and getting ready and preparing yourself to live in the kingdom of God. In God's rule. I mean, you know, to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. A king's over that kingdom. It's a region. And there's a set of rules. And Jesus will be king in God's kingdom. He will be king. He's appointed to be king. And so Jesus being king in God's kingdom, what we have to understand and grab hold to is that we're preparing to live in that kingdom by his rules. Now, here's what happens. We get saved, and we don't understand, we don't study, we don't find out what the kingdom rules are. So we just live saved under the same rules of the world, yet we're doing better. So we compare ourselves to the person that's not doing that well. We're not doing so bad. What does that mean? Not doing so bad. Think about that. And that's how we measure ourselves. Well, we can't do that. It's not what we've been. That's not what we are born again for. We're born again to start living like we're preparing ourselves for the kingdom of God. Now, notice that. Now, is this important? Well, Jesus said, "Repent and believe in the gospel." What gospel? The gospel of God. Remember that. The gospel of God. Now, is that important? Well, I'm going to continue this, but I'm going to give you another title because I got more verses that will go along with that. But let me give you this title. By the sea, we're going to be looking at by the sea. Christ chooses the four. He picks four out. We'll look at that, some of the verses there. The cure in the synagogue. There's a cure in the synagogue, and it is a cure. And we'll look at that. Solitary prayer. That's going to be a big one there. We won't spend a lot of time, not a lot of, but I'm going to talk about it. I want to show you how important this will be. Solitary prayer in the next towns round about Galilee is something, a quote, you see that, that we're going to look at. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 1. And we'll be looking at verse number 16. So we just read the first verse here, in the 15th verse. We read that. And it said, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel." In verse 16 it says, "And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee." Now what happened? John's custody took place. We have the same scene as in Matthew, as in Mark. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, they mean the same thing. They're not two different things. We can't teach two different doctrines on that. Yet, there's a lot of book and a lot of writing saying that's what you should do. That's not what the scripture's telling us. So he's at the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew. Remember, we're talking about four people. He sees Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, listen to his words, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Think about that. Do you see that? Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. That's his words. So when we follow Jesus, what are we then fishing? For what? For what? This is words now. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Now, how many here, and this is whatever you want to call it, it's a crazy question. How many in here is fishermen? Let me see your hand. All right? How many's ever went to a different spot other than the one spot you like to fish? Right? You don't have just one spot. Sometime you fish in the river. Sometime you fish in the pond. Sometime you fish in the bay. Sometime you fish in the Britain Sound. Sometime you fish in the Gulf. Sometime you fish by the canes. Sometime you fish by the rocks. Sometime you fish by the rigs. Am I helping anybody here, right? Is that correct? So, why do you do that? Because there are certain times and certain seasons that you can catch more by going in those different places. Now, what if you're a fisher of men? Sometimes you're going to do things where you're going to do the best. I don't know if that's helping you, but it's sure helping me. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Fishers of men means this. You're not just going to go out, and every single time you're going to do good. I want to see your hand in here. Now, I know fishermen like to lie. If you ever went out and you didn't do so well, right? You had a bad day. You're going to have some days that you don't do so well. But do you quit? No. You think about it. You think about, okay, what can I do different? And that's what we're not doing. We don't understand that our job as fishers of men is, do we sit down and really think about, what can I do? Now, you're pushed and propelled to figure it out because you know that's how you provide for your family. But what do you do to provide for the kingdom of God in that family? What are you doing? What are we really doing? When's the last time we really sat down and planned it out? And thought about it. Okay, if I do that, that might happen. If I do this, this might. When's the last time you really sat down and planned out how you're going to catch some people for the kingdom? That's some things we got to be thinking about, right? Because what did he tell them? Follow me. How many doing that? How many followers of Jesus? And for your followers of Jesus, what is he going to make you? Fishers of men. That's what he said. These are Jesus' words. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And so we see that in this particular verse. And immediately, the scripture says, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in a boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away and followed him. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. So now he's got four of them following him. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just Then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. How many see that? He cried out. Now he's encountering this unclean spirit. Saying, this is the spirit saying this. What business do you have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, the demon knew who he was, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, you ready for this? Be quiet and come out of him. He didn't say he snatched him up and shook him violently. He didn't say he touched him with a cross. That's for the movies. Leave that in the movies. Do you understand that? It says he said, be quiet and come out of him. Why did he say be quiet? Because he didn't tell him to talk. It wasn't his turn to talk. He said, be quiet and come out of him. Notice that. Did he address the man that was possessed? He didn't tell that. The man that was possessed, he talked to who? He talked to the demon. He said, be quiet and come out of him. Notice that. Very important. So when you're going to encounter this, you have to notice that there's something that Jesus did here that we have to learn to do. If you know it's demonic, then you have to address that and do it in that way, just like Jesus did. Now, because this is important principles for us to learn as we're doing now. All this is, again, you're going to see all of this is going to talk about, because this is his encounter, and then he's going to be talking about also the kingdom. So I want you to stay with this and how this is going. Then it says, after he said that, it's throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. They were all amazed. So they debated amongst themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits and they obey him. Immediately, the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding districts of Galilee. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, now when he says they came out, who are we talking about still? Jesus and how many? Remember that? They were working on their nets. They were fishermen. They were following him. They went into the synagogue and they're following him. They said, now they never saw anything like this. This is their first encounter. And this is what he's doing. Now, he's showing them some things. And immediately they came out of the synagogue. They came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. So where did they go? Whose house they went to? Simon. Remember that. Whose house? Simon. They went to Simon's house. Who was in the house? His mother-in-law, she had a fever. Let me see that. She had a fever. So immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. Who spoke to him? Simon and probably his family. She's sick. I mean, she's in trouble. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her and she waited on them. So how long did it take for it to happen? It was immediate. Remember that. It's immediate. So I want you to see that. And when the evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. Where they brought them to? Where was he? Say it again. Simon's house. That's where he was. Till the evening, the sun was setting. And the whole city had gathered. Where? Where? At the door. Think about that. Now, what is he doing with these four? He's teaching them how to be fishers of men. So when they're hearing about it, remember, they all saying, man, he says this to the demons, they do it. He says, the fever's gone, the fever leaves. So they bring in all these people at the door. So this is important principles for us to remember. Verse 34, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. That's why he said, be quiet. Be quiet. In the early morning, while it was still dark, now here's something I want you to get hold to. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Wow. Remember, we talked about a solitary place. In the early morning, Jesus got up. I want to tell you, if we'll start doing this, it's going to change everything about us. Early in the morning, he went to a secluded place and he prayed. And a lot of times we don't think, well, is that necessary? Well, if Jesus did it, it must have been necessary. I don't find anything in the scripture that he did that wasn't necessary. He didn't waste time. He didn't sit around chit-chatting. He didn't sit around playing anything. He didn't do any of that. Everything he did had a purpose to it. I mean, understand that. It had a purpose. Everything he did. The Bible says early in the morning he got up from the house because he had been there. He got there that day before. The evening come, all the people came, met at the door. He stayed there that night and got up early in the morning and went to a secluded place to pray. I want you to take note of that because that's important. And it's important that we understand these principles and we submit our lives to these things. Simon, and he prayed there, and Simon and his companions searched for him. See that? Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Verse 38. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. Notice that. How many notice that? I'm going to read it again, what he said. He said to them, let us go somewhere else. So where are we going now? Where are we at? We're at Simon's house in that region, right? Now what he says, we're going somewhere else. Where at? To towns nearby. Towns nearby. So that I may preach there also. For that is what I came for. Right? Do you see that? What did he come for? To preach, do what he was doing. He said, I got to go do it again. And other towns that are where? Nearby. Is anybody ready for this? So watch what he says. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This is the same account. I'll read it. I can read it to you, the same account. They came to the town of Capernaum in the city of Galilee. Same place. And he was there in verse 31. He was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. Remember that? That's what was said in the other account. And what Mark said, in the synagogue, there was a man possessed with the spirit of unclean demons. And he cried out with a loud voice, let us alone. What business do we have with each other? Jesus of Nazareth. Does this sound same story? Yep, same thing. It's Luke's account. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Notice that. Luke's recording the same thing. Mark recorded the same thing. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, what did he say? Be quiet. Come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. Same account. How many following this so far? That we're dealing with the same account. And I can continue reading. In amazement, they came upon all that began to talk with one another. Same account goes on through. Many are healed and all that. Verse 42, when the day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. Notice that. What did he do? He went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. They were looking for, remember he got up? They were looking for him. The people were looking for you. The four told him, where you been? What was he doing? Praying in a secluded place. He got up early with nobody. Everybody else was sleeping. He snuck off and said, I gotta go and meet with my Father. You ever wonder when Jesus prayed who he was praying to? Bible says he prayed. Who was he praying to? Himself? He was praying to the Father. Amen? Verse 43. But he said to them, notice this. This is, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. Now, what did he say in Mark? Let us go somewhere else to towns nearby so that I may preach what? What is he going to preach? Preach the kingdom of God. Luke tells us. We have the same story, but Luke tells us, he gives us some more information. He's going to preach what? The kingdom of God. Notice that. Why did he say that in Luke 4:43? The kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. What was he sent for? Preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, or Matthew's account, the kingdom of heaven. Same thing. They mean the same thing. And it amazes me how folks want to take those and split them up to kind of create this far-fetched doctrine that gets people confused. And then we get people going around saying, well, the primary purpose of Jesus was to come and die. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to convince me that Jesus came and he died. I'm all in that. But when you say it in a way that he didn't have nothing else to do, that's the issue there. If that's the only thing he come for, why don't we just let him show up with a cross on his back? The rest of the stuff don't mean anything if that's the case. But he didn't show up with a cross on his back. He was just like his brethren in all points, the scripture says. And he lived his life just like every other human being on the planet. But he wasn't just some ordinary man. Do you understand that? He was a unique man. Ordinary men come out their mother's womb by the help of the Father. But this unique man came out of his mother's womb with the help of the power of the Spirit of God. That's a difference. There's a difference there. Because for this reason, the Bible says he shall be called the Son of God. For this reason. The reason that the Spirit of God had to be the one that performed the miracle in the womb. Let me understand that. But this is what he said. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for this was, for I was sent for this purpose. And I'm telling you, this is so important for us to understand and to grab hold to. When we do that, we're going to see some amazing things begin to happen in our lives. In Matthew, we see in the fourth chapter of Matthew, we'll go back there. And we see this from that time Jesus began to preach and say, what did he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew continued. And in the 19th, he says that, and now Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, the one called Peter, and Andrew, the brother, casting the net into the sea. And they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I just pointed all those things out just to show you. Now, this is the next slide. You can put it there and I'll show you what we'll be doing on next Sunday. We're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and admonitions and precepts. Hopefully I can finish that between Sunday morning and Sunday night. We'll see what we can do to complete that. But my whole purpose tonight is to give you something to think about. What when we see the scripture, take your time. Take your time and look at what Jesus said and why he said it. And follow this journey. Because it is. It's a journey when you're following Jesus and you watch him and how he does things, how he handles himself, the things he says. He doesn't say anything more than what he needs to say. Notice that. He doesn't get overly involved in a conversation so much so that he can't get himself out of it. He says what needs to be said, and that's it. He just says what the points that need to be made, and it's so important. So what I want to ask you to do, and what I want you to understand how important this is and how valuable this is, that we have to understand that when Jesus said that his primary purpose was to preach the kingdom of God, we have to take that to heart. It's about the kingdom of God. Now, how important is the kingdom of God? Well, we could go on into a whole entire series. If you was here, you've heard the series I did on the kingdom of God. It's important because one day, Paul puts it this way. He said, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead shall be raised. Think about that. The dead's going to raise. And then we're going to be with Jesus in the kingdom for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, how many know 1,000 years is a long time? Right? Think about going back 1,000 years ago. There would be no United States. And we can keep going. No Europe. None of those. You just keep going. And we see that everything began to spread out. 1,000 years. What about 2,000 years? We'd be right there at the cross. You see? So a lot of things happened in 1,000 years. Well, he calls it the millennial reign. And it's not just one reign. Do you understand that? So it's a 1,000-year reign, but it doesn't end after the 1,000 years. What is the 1,000-year reign for? It's just like what we sort of see now. It's a preparation or a bringing us to an understanding of what it's going to be like for eternity. Because after the 1,000 years, what are we going to do? It ain't over. Right? Now, he talks about eternal life. But then he sets a time, a 1,000-year reign. What is that for? Now, Jesus is not talking about, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and it's not restricted to just 1,000 years. But we know that's the beginning of it. We're going to step into it. Now, prior to us stepping into it, what do we understand about the kingdom of God? Do we have to understand anything? Well, I'm not there yet, but I will be getting there when Jesus talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then these things shall be added unto you. So these are going to, now that we've introduced this, you're going to see as we start more and more looking at the things Jesus said, you're going to see more and more that the kingdom has a great and valuable place with what we do when we're out spreading the gospel. We have to talk to people about the kingdom of God. But when you do that, we ought to know what it means. What is he talking about when he talks about the kingdom of God? So think about this. When Jesus returns, when he comes back to this planet we call Earth, things are going to change, and they're going to change in a big way. A big way. And he will set up a righteous order. He will. And him, in order for him to do that, he's going to need others to help with setting up that righteous order. Who wants to be involved in that? You can be. If not, if you are not where you need to be in your relationship with Christ, when that happens, you won't know about any of it. Because you'll remain dead. But I want to be involved in it. Do you see this big major step? Because when this age ends, and this age is going to end. We're in an age, it's going to end. This age, just as time as you know it, and the way things are going on in this world, is going to come to an end. It's going to stop. When Christ returns, that age ends and a new age starts. And it's his rule and his reign, his authority. And it don't matter who's in charge. It don't matter who's got all the money. It don't matter who's got all the missiles. None of that matters. The Bible says his glory, just the glory of Jesus, is going to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet. Just his glory. That ain't talking about picking up weapons. Do you understand that? And I'm going to just tell you, if you think Jesus can't fight, you're wrong. He can, listen, he has fire in his eyes, a sword in his hand. And he's going to come back and he's going to reign as a king, a mighty king, a warrior king. Do you understand that? He's not going to come just kind of gently walking the earth. And that, he did that. He came, he humbled himself as a lamb, but he's going to come back as a mighty king. Let me tell you, David, he's going to restore the throne of David. That's what he talked about. How many of you know that David was a mighty warrior? And the one that he's going to restore back, talking about prophetically, the Messiah's return, is the throne of David. Now, do you know we don't read about Solomon being a mighty warrior? He was more of all the trinkets and stuff. He had him some trinkets. I mean, he had 700 wives. That boy. That's why he got himself in trouble. But David wasn't like that. David was a warrior. David took on the bear and the lion and the giant. David went out to fight battles. Saul tried to. He was a warrior. He won many battles. Do you understand that? And he prayed and he sought God. And as Jesus is going to return, he's going to be a king. I want you to understand that. He's not going to be sitting around trying to shrugging his shoulders thinking, well, I don't know what y'all think. He ain't going to be talking about asking us what we think. He's going to say, go do this, go do that, go do this, get rid of him, get rid of that. That's got to go. Here's the rules, and we're going to get it done. And we're supposed to be preparing to help in that right now. That's what we're doing. As believers, that's what we're preparing for. Not to say, it's not like you're sliding in a home plate and say, whew, I made it. I didn't go to hell. That's not what we're doing. We're preparing. We should be understanding the things of God and helping as many. Now, while we're preparing, what are we supposed to be doing? Helping as many to prepare also. Every one of us. Because if we follow Jesus, we're made what? Fishers of men. If we follow in him, we're made fishers of men. That's what we do. And so I want you to understand, these are important times for us. And so as we continue in the words of Jesus, we're going to be getting on the Beatitudes and the admonitions and the precepts. They're absolutely incredible. And we'll be taking up Matthew 5, starting with verse 1, and going through that on Sunday morning. And let me tell you, the things he said in this message is so powerful. It is absolutely incredible. Each one of them. As you go through them, and we'll try to touch on each one of them and the things that he said in this message. This is the absolute first time that we have Jesus sitting on a hillside and he starts delivering this massive message to everybody that gathered. There were all sorts of people, different backgrounds, different religious sects were all gathered around, including the disciples that he'd already selected. They were all sitting there, and he starts to speak, and it's absolutely powerful. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if I say the kingdom of heaven, what do I mean? The kingdom of God, right? So we establish that. So when I go into that, you'll see what I'm talking about. And then he starts on, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You can see what I'm talking about? And that's just a little bit, a little peek into it. It's absolutely, and people say, well, what did he come to talk about? What did he come to talk about? What did he say his primary purpose was to talk about? The kingdom of God. I need to go to other cities also that I can preach. I can preach. What is he going to preach about? The kingdom of God. So when he does in the fifth chapter, he makes this move. What does he do? Does he do what he said he was going to do? Absolutely. He starts preaching about the kingdom of God. So he said the meek shall inherit the earth. Isn't that incredible? And so we're going to look at all those things, and that'll be done on Sunday and Sunday night. Hopefully we can cover all of that. But I want to tell you, this is important. So, and again, you don't have to wait for me. You can take your Bible and start reading. Some of you got a red letter edition Bibles, and you go through there, and it helps you kind of see the things Jesus said. Go through that. Go through those things, and you'll see what I'm talking about. With the exception of a couple things in there he probably didn't say. So, but that's, you got to take your time to study that. All right? When we get there, I'll show you. But until then, let's continue to study our Bibles. Let's continue to pray and seek the Lord. Let's watch the things that Jesus said. The part that excites me about it is how he handled all these different situations. And I think about how I handle stuff. I got some work to do. I want to work on how I handle different situations and be careful. I don't want to say something I shouldn't say. You know that? Because you don't want to. You got to be careful. And you think, well, I'll never be put in those situations, so I'll be all right. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. You get put in situations you never thought were possible. Huh? But you got to be careful. And you never know. Listen, every opportunity we get, we have to take that opportunity to make sure that we're not only saying what we do, saying who we are, but we're doing that. We're actually doing that. And that's not an easy thing to do. And sometimes you say, well, you know what? I get by with it. Nobody really knows me. It doesn't really matter. Well, God knows you. And he knows everybody else. So to me, that's an all-inclusive type understanding for me. And I better be careful what I say and what I do and how I react. Because it's important. Very important. Amen? How many understand that? How many know that you're going to have that challenge? You're going to be with those encounters. They're going to come. I can assure you they're going to come. You're going to be met with those challenges and those encounters. They're going to happen to you. You just never know when it's going to happen. What do? You got to start studying the things Jesus said. How did he handle it? When a man jumps up and starts screaming at him, talking about, what are you here to do? What do we have to do with you? And what does Jesus do? Be quiet. Come out of him. Think about it. I want to be able to handle that. And we got to practice. How many know God will put times in our lives where we got to practice that? I just had me a practice session the other morning. Think it when it was, Jack? When that was, what that was, Friday? Friday morning. You at the fish, right? Yeah. So Friday morning, I got my customers, and I'm going along in the, and Brother Steve said Thursday night, his wife, Sister Sabrina, says, we need some help, Pastor. So we talked about, you can come follow me. We're going to do duck hunting. So he said, I'll meet you. And we arranged the time, and he met there in the river, and he followed me. And I go through my brother-in-law's canal, and the morning, it's just dark, and everything's going smooth as could be, and we park the boat, and we get the guys in there, and I tell Brother Steve, just follow me. We're going to, it's blowing hard, and so we're just going to go in there, and I got the plan. I said, two guys in this one, I'll keep two guys with me. Before I go in my blind, I'm going to take you and put you in one that we have in the back. So we're going, and he's following me, and I look behind him, and I'm looking. I said, who's that light? So I stop. Well, I stopped, it's shallow water. I was like, man, I shouldn't have stopped. Well, anyway, I trim the motor up in the duck boat, and I'm putting along. And he's putting along, Brother Steve, behind me, and I got my headlight on. Well, this guy just runs straight up between both of our boats, and he is just screaming at us. And I'm like, well, who is this? I got my light. He's shining his light in my face. He says, private property, private property. You got to get out of here. And I said, well, I know it's private property. That's why I'm on it. It was my property. I mean, you're not telling me a story. I know that's true. It's private. It's mine. So I said, well, I said, you need to go on, and we're going to go on. Just like that. So I turned around, and I started going, and Brother Steve's coming with me. All of a sudden, I look back, Brother Steve stopped, and the guy's on the side of him. And he's holding on to his boat and talking to him, and tell Brother Steve, you on private property. He said, I know. And I'm with the leaseholder. And he's my pastor. What's his name? Jesse Morris. So I'm looking. I was like, oh, here I got to turn the boat around. Now we got our customer. I go back over there and I said, listen, private property, screaming. I said, son, just calm down. We're not going to do this here. You're in the wrong spot. We're not. You're not in the right spot. I guarantee you on my property. Well, then he started using them four-letter words. So by the time he got finished and he told me to go myself, I went, okay, whatever. I said, but you go and do whatever you're going to do, but we're going to go hunt. And I got in there, and them guys was like, man, this is crazy. He said, just in the pitch black dark, people just show up screaming at you. I said, that'll be all right. I said, obviously the guys don't know what he's doing. I don't even know who he is. Three people in a boat. One talked. The other two didn't say anything. I said, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm going to talk to the people. I'd seen where they were staying, and I'll talk to them. But right now, y'all enjoy your hunt. It is what it is. Man, I can't believe you let that man curse you like that. I said, it doesn't matter. So the day went on. And they said, well, what you do for a living other than this? I said, well, I pastor a church. Oh. So I'm sure they didn't want me to find out about that story Jack they told earlier about going to a certain bar where clothes is option. It's amazing how faces change. You mean we just told that story? And he just stood there. So I just changed. You know, y'all married? Yeah, we got kids, 5-year-old and so. Oh, okay. Thinking. All right, you got a 5-year-old and a 4. You know, I'm just thinking, you know. So anyway, hunt's over. Pick everybody up. Everybody had a good time, had a great hunt. We get to the boat. And they still talking about it. Man, I can't believe that guy. I said, it's not a big deal. I said, I'm going to take care. It's going to all work out in the end. And I look, and here comes that kid in that same boat. And it's daytime. So I said, well, here's my opportunity to help this kid. I need to help him because somebody's going to knock him out. And I don't want to see him get knocked out. So I said, come here. He's passing in the duck boat. And I said, hey, come here. It's a narrow canal. I mean, he's right there. I said, hey, come here. He looked. He went, me. I said, you, come here. Turn that boat around. He turned around. I was surprised. I mean, he turned around. I'm like, something, but you got to just do it. So he got to me. I said, turn that motor off so you can hear what I'm saying. Boy, he turned the motor off. I said, listen, son, you don't act that way. Now, all them guys is here. Now, it's not time for me to show out because I got an audience. Brother Steve was right there. He could tell y'all. I said, you can't act that way. That's going to get you. You're going to get in trouble. I said, you know how you acted? Like a knucklehead. I said, you know what happens to knuckleheads? When they act like that, they get themselves in trouble. I said, well, you're lucky it was me. Because somebody else would have hurt you. I said, you don't know me, but you never came up and introduced yourself and talked like folks talk. And I said, I know your parents ain't raised you. They raised you better than that to not act that way. You don't do that kind of stuff. And I said, I know your uncle. I know the people that you're staying at the houseboat. I know the DA. And I said, they know me. And I pastored a local church there, and we don't act that way. Boy, that kid got his head down like that. Just like that. He's thinking, what? And I'm in trouble. I said, I'm going to call him. I'm going to call your uncle. I'm calling him. And I did. Because I wanted to tell him that you got people can't act, but you can't act that in a way either. I don't care if you get cussed. It don't make a difference. You got to keep everything because your opportunity to witness is standing there looking at you. They're going, okay, let's see what he does. Let's just see what he does. So, I mean, they're going to say something in front of me. Maybe they're trying to just say stuff in front of me. But they had to say stuff in front of Jack after the fact on why it went down. And they told Jack, your uncle's calm. He's calm. We wouldn't have did that. You see? But you can't do that because it don't go nowhere. Where does it go? You might feel good for the moment because you recaptured what you feel. Listen, anybody can cuss you. Don't take your manhood away. You can only give it up. You are who you are in Christ. Do you understand that? And you can give it up and get out there and let it go. But you gave it up. And then you can say, well, they made me. You can call it whatever you want, but you gave it up. My responsibility is I have to remain calm and look at the situation. Even though inside you fight the same battles, you got to push, suppress the same anger, all that stuff. It's as real as it's real for everybody. Everybody has that in you. But you got to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it because I have an audience and I don't want to lose my opportunity to do whatever I can. It may not be a big seed, but any kind of seed on the right soil is going to grow. You understand? It could be a mustard seed, a little bitty seed. It's all it could, but it's about us, where are we going to blow opportunity? And it's not easy. Let me tell you, you're in the midst of all that. You get pushed into that whole environment of why people act that way. We don't need to, right? We could talk it. We could talk about it, civilly talk. But some people don't do that. We can't get into that same thing because the moment we do, we blow our opportunity to ever be a witness. So I took the opportunity, and basically the guy said, man, you know what you just did? You talked to that boy like he was your son. I said, well, that's what I wanted to do because I don't want my son acting like that. And I'd have told him the same thing. And I treated him with the same tender care as I would if it had been my son. But I'd have called my son a knucklehead. You understand that? Because that's what he was. He was acting like a knucklehead. And I told him, don't act like that because some people, they look for knuckleheads like you and they're going to knock you out. And I said, you don't want to put yourself in that position. I said, don't you understand what I'm saying, son? I told him that. And he's like, but he didn't have nobody with him. No, his buddies weren't with him to show off. It was just by himself. Now, what chance him coming down that same canal, do you understand? And we rendezvous at the same time, and here I am. In the moment, now, when I saw him, I didn't get indignant toward him. I didn't get mad at him. I said, I have my opportunity. Here's my chance. This is my chance to talk to this kid, to make him think about what he did. See, and that's all God's asking for us. Be led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Don't miss your opportunities. And remember, there's somebody watching.
Yes.
And if you don't have anybody with you, God's watching.
Yes.
He knows.
Yes.
And would you do the same thing if nobody knew? God knows. And then you need to practice. Anytime you're going to have a situation, some of you might have one tomorrow. You never know.
It
might be somebody that you encounter and you go, here we go. One time I encountered my own brother-in-law. I said, oh, no. And this is what he said. He thought I was somebody doing something wrong. And he said, can I help you, sir? And I wasn't answering him because I was thinking he was picking. I thought he was playing. And he said, boy, you was making me mad. But he said, he was about to reach down in the boat and pull me out the boat. And I said, what is my brother doing? He's trying to get ready to hunt. He's making jokes over here. Can I help you, sir? Yeah. Well, help me throw these decoys out. But we laugh about these things because we do. You get in, put in different encounters. Jesus got, he was the same way. He didn't go and get in a room somewhere, and from the room, he done everything. He got out. He visited people. He put himself in positions, and he had these encounters. He's up preaching, he's teaching, in this with authority, and all of a sudden, this demonic demon from another person, it's in another person, starts screaming at him. What are you to do here? We know who you are, the Holy One of God. You see? But he didn't. He's, be quiet. Come out of him. And then he moves on. So I want you to take that. Use this information. Take the words of Jesus. Practice it in your life every day. Because I promise you, somebody here, you're going to have an encounter. You're going to. What are you going to do? You're going to let it get to you? Or you're going to help? You're going to say, Lord, I need some help. And you may not get it right the first time. Maybe you, but you got to learn from that and get better. And then get better. And then get better. You see? Because there was a time in my life, maybe I wouldn't have been that calm, you see? Matter of fact, I know I wouldn't have. But I want to know that God's doing something in me. And it's working. And that's what he wants to do for us all. Amen? Well, let's remember to do that this week. Let's remember to be passionate about God. And I want you to remember this. He got up early and he went somewhere to a secluded place to pray. I want you to start practicing that. Go get you in a spot somewhere and pray. Seek the Lord. If you start doing that, everything, the environment will change. The atmosphere of worship will change. The atmosphere of the service is going to change automatically. You say, is it going to happen because we're all doing it? All doing it's a benefit. But it won't be held back because some won't. All is a benefit, but he'll do it for you. You can be in the same service and be supernaturally blessed and somebody sit right next to you and they don't feel nothing because they never spend the time necessary to have that anointing move in and touch their lives. I want to tell you, each one of you, if you'll do that, this week, find a solitary place. Go, get off somewhere and pray and seek the Lord. Say, God, we just want you, we want your presence, we want to move from you and watch what'll happen. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for a great day. What an opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come and worship you. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you, Lord, that people are walking in their healing. Yeah. God, what you've done in their lives, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for my healing. I give you the glory and honor for it. It makes no difference, Lord, what we face on a daily basis. If we put our trust in you, you're going to be there for us and you're going to help us. And God, as we face those things, even though, Lord, we have times of uncertainty, things that we question, we know if we put our trust in you and rely on you, you'll give us the answers that we need. And you'll give us the words to speak at the same hour that we need to speak them because your spirit is very present to give us those words. And we thank you for it. I ask you, Lord, that every person here would be strengthened, that would be encouraged by your word, that the words that Jesus spoke would just become real to us and alive. And as we go forward to do what you called us to do, nothing can be held back from us. We thank you, Lord, for breakthrough in people's lives. We thank you, Lord, for as the healings start to manifest themselves, Lord, that you cause breakthrough, Lord, and we ask blessings upon the lives of your people, that what they put their hands to do would be blessed. Lord, we call the jar of flour won't be empty. The jar of oil won't be empty. Everything they have need of will be supplied. as we pursue you and be willing to do what you called us to do. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask your blessings to go with us and guide us and direct us. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.